stunning results from the National Assessment of Education Progress in this country, the NAEP, which does the nation's report card. They look at fourth graders, eighth graders. They look at math. They look at reading. And what they find in Washington State is that over 70% of our eighth graders are not proficient in math, which is a slide of 13 percentage points in the last 10 years. Really stunning, especially when we have poured record amounts of spending into education. I'm not going to bury you with the numbers. I'm just going to say this. Spending in 10 years went up 110%. That's three times higher than inflation. 110% increase in spending, and both reading and math scores went down. All right. One of the problems with one-party government, one-party regime in Olympia, is that instead of holding officials accountable, since they're all of one party, they cover for each other. If we had divided government in Olympia, if we had a Republican legislature or a Republican governor, then they would be demanding that the superintendent of public instruction, Chris Reichdahl, that he show up, the state school superintendent, and explain these poor numbers. But instead, they just talk about other things. They just kind of ignore it. Well, someone who is not ignoring our terrible education results for what we've been spending, the awful value for the money we spend, is Travis Couture. Travis is a rising star in state politics. We enjoy having him on the show from time to time, Republican state house member out of Mason County, where I understand it's a wee bit snowy, Travis.
Yeah, it's there's some snow falling still and some ice on the road, so I hope everyone's driving safe this morning.
Well, our radio legend, Mark Christopher, who lives by Lake Limerick, was not able to get in here today. So it's pretty rough out there, I understand. He's in Shelton. You did something that I found really unusual. The Democrats as a party are beholden to the state teachers union. The state teachers union hates school choice, where parents can decide where their kids go to school, not bureaucrats. And they always defeat it. In fact, they even try and strangle the number of charter schools. But you've got a school choice bill that's actually going to get a hearing on Thursday morning, even though the other party controls the committee process. How'd you get that through?
Very carefully, John. You know, honestly, I just think that a lot of people in our communities and across our state, school choice is growing across the nation. Over half, almost like a three-fourths of the states now have some kind of school choice policy. It's growing in popularity, especially after the pandemic. And people want choices. This is America. This is what it's all about. People want the choice of where to send their kids to get the education that best fits the needs of their families and their kids. And they want, you mentioned the national report card. People want their kids to learn how to do math and learn how to read and want to be safe in their schools, especially in a time where the Democrats in the legislature are trying to erase the Parents' Bill of Rights. To add more DEI and more wokeness into our schools that has caused massive disenrollments in public schools. And the great thing about school choice is it is a choice. You can choose to send your kids to homeschool, to private school, or you can continue to choose your kid, send your kids to public schools. That's the beauty of it. The dollar should follow the student like a backpack on their back, giving families and empowering them to have more choices about what best fits their needs. And frankly, there's a lot of myths that need to be busted with teachers' unions and everything else. School choice is very popular in a lot of other states and growing in popularity, and we don't want to get left behind as a state. We don't want to get left behind because we're training our future workforce and our kids, and if other states have school choice and we don't, then that's a selling point for other people to move somewhere else. We don't want that to happen. We want to keep our kids right here and give them the best educational outcomes possible.
Okay, you mentioned correctly that people are leaving, parents are pulling their kids out of the public schools, enrollment is actually down. How much is it down?
It's down significantly. We never even really recovered after the pandemic. It did kind of flatline a little bit, but it can just continues to go down. And then also you can see in the data, more levies and bonds, those campaigns are being lost than ever before. Yeah. There's a stunning lack of trust in our communities. So the enrollment is significantly down, and it really follows the NAEP scores that you talked about, which are the worst in three decades here in Washington State. And as you mentioned, the spending has never been higher in our K-12 system. So we're just not getting the outcomes for the money that we're investing.
Well, we're getting worse. I mean, this is a hallmark of the political left. When progressives, not just liberals, but progressives start dictating policies on homelessness, they'll spend a whole lot of money and homelessness will get worse. Crime, things will get worse. Drugs, things will get worse. Education, well, things are worse, which is why you've got to build a change and challenge that status quo. Tell our listeners what will change if Travis Couture's bill, House Bill 1140, becomes law.
Yeah, House Bill 1140 is essentially education savings accounts. And this account is basically the backpack on the child's back that I talked about, that where the dollars go into the account, and you could choose, parents can choose wherever school or educational alternative that they want to go and spend those dollars on. And what's great about it is that we're funding students and not systems and bloated bureaucracies. Like you mentioned, we spend billions and billions of dollars on a K-12 system that doesn't deliver any measurably good outcomes, like 70% of our kids not being able to do math at grade level in our state. And so parents really want this. And essentially, how it would look, John, is a separate entity. It wouldn't be OSPI. You wouldn't even actually need to have the state legislature fund ESAs, because I've created a B&O tax credit where people paying their B&O taxes can make a choice to fund these ESAs, much like our Main Street program and much like other B&O or tax credit programs in other states. Okay, that way, if a Democrat legislature does not want to fund ESAs, then it wouldn't even be up to them. It would be up to taxpayers.
Well, that was my next question, which is how they are funded. By the way, what is the reaction among Democrats, the majority party by far? What is their reaction to these terrible test scores and the fact that they just poured more money into schools than ever before? Again, 110% in 11 years.
Yeah, I think their reaction is cognitive dissonance. I mean, if you listen to the Speaker of the House, Lori Jenkins, at the beginning of session, she claims that we have the best education system in all the states. We have one of the best education systems in the world. But the problem is she measures that by how much money we spend and how much we pay teachers. We do pay one of the highest salaries to teachers in all 50 states. And we do spend some of the most money on K-12 education in all 50 states. But what she misses and what they don't seem to see is the failing outcomes. And not only that, it's not just educational outcomes. The mental and behavioral health of kids in our schools, the suicide ideation has never been higher. The hopelessness, which is actually a thing that we measure, the hopelessness of 12th graders in our K-12 system is at an all-time low.
Because?
And because after we came out of the pandemic, we locked kids into their homes and we didn't do anything for them.
Well, wait, but no, what NAEP says, this trend started before COVID. So what I'm trying to get to is we're spending all this money and we have really nice school facilities. Why so much failure? Why so many disappointing results on test scores and aptitude tests?
Well, I think that's interesting. You can actually look at those NAEP scores, and you can mark around the 2013-2015 era, and the score started going down, and then we hit the pandemic, and then they plummeted. And one of the reasons I think you could point at the phase out at exactly that time of No Child Left Behind. You can point at a lot of different policies. We just don't expect anything from our kids anymore. We let them run their own education. The adults aren't in charge anymore. There's less school discipline. And that was really the beginning of a host of different policies, whether it be Common Core, whether it be all sorts of, you know, some of this, what people would call this DEI stuff in schools. I mean, people have lost trust in it. And that's because it's not actually giving the outcomes that we need.
Well, I'll tell you what it seems to me that has gone wrong is that if the one thing that every skill, physical and artistic and intellectual, every skill has in common is that it begins with a mastery of fundamentals. And I get the feeling that our schools don't emphasize, public schools don't emphasize the fundamentals of reading, writing, what we used to call arithmetic, basic math, that we used to, that there's other things that are allowed to distract and take away time and whatnot, and discipline standards have slipped. Am I correct?
Yeah, you're absolutely correct. I mean, people should think about it like a three-legged stool in schools. One leg is your basic education, your core education, the things that you're talking about, the basic fundamentals. One is career pathways for what happens when you leave out of school. And the other third leg of the stool is this like mental behavioral health, social emotional learning stuff. And that leg has essentially taken over the entire stool. That last one, the social emotional learning, the mental and behavioral health. And that's one of the things we spent millions and millions and millions of dollars on that stuff.
So why is mental health worse
over our schools? Well, that's a great question that we've been asking OSPI. You know, we have tons of programs over the years meant to make this better.
Okay.
But instead, there's no measurable outcome. There's no KPIs. It just continues to get worse. And we just keep dumping money into a black hole and expecting it to get better. But the problem, John, is that schools should be educating, teachers should be teaching. We shouldn't be a mental health clinic, and we shouldn't be a hospital either.
Well, I love this bill, H. Bill 1140, sets up educational accounts that parents can use to send their kids to any school they choose, which basically just empowers working class and poor parents, because rich parents already have this ability. So wouldn't it be nice to extend that? Travis Couture, another great bill, and he's going to have a hearing, and we'll talk to him again on Friday, is going to tell us how it went.